Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. Where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight, this is our legend segment. I'm your host, Bobby Butler. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight I got with me some of the biggest legends in FSU history. You know, they say, they talk about who started the thing at FSU, but this group of guys right here took us on a journey that we didn't leave, and we just kept going up to the mountaintop. Hey, welcome to the show, all-time leading tackler, Mr. Aaron Carter. What's up, AC? And then we got the guy who taught me everything. I saw everything he did. Sixth-round draft choice of the New York Jets, all-time leader, intercepting leader of FSU when he left, Mr. Bobby Jackson. Welcome to the show, man.
I'm good, man. I'm glad to see my boys, my friends.
And then we got the guy from Albany, Georgia, who blocked and protected the blind side of Wally Wood and Jimmy George. Mr. Nate Henderson. Nate, welcome to the show.
Big Nate in the house.
And then we got the one. He's a legend, y'all. From Homestead, Dade County, the 305. Defensive end, Mr. Willie Jones. Willie, welcome to the show.
Happy to be in the midst, fellas.
And then we got the hustle, y'all. This man here is a jack of all trades. He can do it all, ladies and gentlemen. Linebacker, Mr. Jimmy Higgins. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Hey, listen, man. It's so good to have all you guys on the show tonight. I've been wanting to have this show with you guys for a while because, you know, a lot of people in FSU, they get it twisted, the history twisted, right? They always say this group started that, this group started the other thing. But I tell them all the time, I said, the seniors that was in place my freshman year at FSU got it started for us because they taught us, they led us, and we saw how it was done. We saw what it took to put the work in. We saw everything they did, and then we built on that and start going to another level. But we couldn't have done it without these guys right here. Hey, guys, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm excited to have y'all on the show, right? I'm excited. So listen, Jimmy, I got to get started with you, man. See, there's a lot of things that people don't know about Jimmy Higgins, right? First of all, he came to Tallahassee as an offensive player. Am I right?
Right.
You're running back, fullback, you're in the backfield. But what a lot of people don't know about you, your athleticism, because in high school, from my understanding, you were a 9,600-yard dash sprinter. Is that true?
Yep, that's true.
That's true, right?
I wish I could do that now.
Hey, we all do. So you were a 9,600-yard dash sprinter. You came to FSU. And right away, as a freshman, you got some playing time returning kickoffs. And I think you had over 25-yard average. I think the longest return you had was about 68 yards. But you got on the field as a true freshman on special teams and made it happen. Tell us about that time for you when you came to Florida State.
Well, it was a It was kind of intimidating. It was kind of intimidating coming from a little small town in Salisbury.
Okay.
When I came down and ran into all the guys, we just immediately clicked as a family, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just something I'll never forget.
Absolutely. I tell you, it's not like that first year, man, because it is very intimidating. But I know you were excited for the challenge, and I know you thought you can play there because you wouldn't have gone there had you not. So as a freshman, Jimmy, you played kickoff return, and then as a sophomore, they moved you from running back, tailback to fullback. You got a little burn on, not much, but a little bit of burn. But then your junior year, they moved you to nose tackle. So I want to ask a question. I know the kind of player you was. You were a physical ball player. But what was that like from offense getting all the glory to now all of a sudden you playing over the center at your size?
Yeah, you still go to the bowl.
It was more of those things where, yeah, a lot of headaches, man. A lot of headaches. That's all I can say about that. They were like, what the heck did I get myself into?
But they were trying to find a lane for you to run in. They saw something in you.
Yeah.
And so they were moving you around because they knew they got to find a place for you to play because you were that good. Okay. So when I came in 1977, I didn't know you were a guard. I always thought you was a middle linebacker because when I got there, your AC was in the middle of that thing doing your thing.
Yes.
You know, it was an incredible thing to witness you guys play on defense, man. It was amazing. And on top of that, just been amazing watching you guys handle yourself. But the amazing thing was you were not just like really great big guys, right? So you gave a guy like me some hope. Even though I wasn't about a buck 45, I had hope, you know. I said, man, these guys, man, they playing like big boys. You know, maybe I can do it. So we're going to talk about you because with all the shifting in the different positions, you play a different position every year in college.
Right.
And yet and still, you left Tallahassee as one of the all-time leading tacklers. You know, I think your senior year, I know AC was number one in every category, but I see over your career at FSU, where's my papers at? Over your career, I know your senior year, you were sixth all-time as far as tackles per season. That was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Well, you just jumped on and held on.
And you jumped on and held on? Well, hey, y'all was doing a lot of pride knocking back. You remember that time, right?
Right, right.
So let me jump. We're going to get back to you too. But your further your career. But let's start with Aaron real quick. Because y'all played right next to each other. You were roommates. You know, you guys consider yourself chess champions. So you consider yourself to be intellectuals.
Head on now.
You know. So AC, you came from Gainesville, Florida, man. You came from enemy territory, but you went to school in Tallahassee. You played high school ball at Gainesville High School, you know, and you were elected to the FSU Hall of Fame in 2014, mm-hmm. which everybody on this thing should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You consider one of the greatest defenders in FSU history. I know we all agree with that, you know. And the thing about all of you guys, Jimmy, and all of you guys pretty much, that you signed to play football at FSU, not doing a great time at FSU. I mean, what it was like for y'all when y'all was being recruited, you know, during that time, because it wasn't like FSU was ranked in the top 10 or, you know, they had all these, you know, All-Americans, all this thing. What was the thing for you guys to make you want to play football at FSU?
Where for me, Bobby, it was a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And then people looked at me and said, why would you go to an 0-11 school?
Wow.
But for me, it was, if you want opportunity, football-wise.
Yes.
Now, the behind-the-scenes action says that my sister was there. You know, I had visited, and I saw all the attractions that made you want to go to school there.
Absolutely.
So it was an easy tilt over.
Oh, yeah.
But I also mentioned to people that I was recruited by one staff. Mm-hmm. When I got there to the bus station, there was another staff in place.
Wow.
By the time, and really almost by the time I walked down the street to Cash Hall, mm-hmm. it was almost another staff in place.
Wow.
So for me coming in and meeting these guys, mm-hmm. the impact was this. At Gainesville High, mm-hmm. I had a group of some awesome, I played with some awesome guys.
Okay.
And I walked into a freshman class with these guys mm-hmm. and said, oh, you know, they were fighters.
Right.
When we walked on, when we got there, we, you know, we got in some battles mm-hmm. in practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw some of these guys on the screen cry because they won the ball.
Right.
That let me know that we were in the right place.
Right.
Okay. And kind of doing the right things. We actually changed the pace and the tempo mm-hmm. of practices there. You know, it became downright competitions. Mm-hmm. You know, we started calling some of the names of guys before us. We walked into some fights.
Right.
And we took the fight to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what made, you know, it was a good class to build on.
Right. Yeah.
Now let me throw this about Jimmy, because I walked in and I knew I was a pretty good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy was a great wrestler.
Ah, okay.
Everybody has wrestled before. You gotta be great, in great shape.
Yes,
we were playing around in the living room in Cobra Terrace, and he almost broke my arm showing me a wrestler. I said, okay. And then now the story on this, you talking about a guy playing multiple positions. Now, all of us in our ranks were stars at home.
That's right.
Okay. So Jimmy should have been a starter at running back, fullback, except he was always off the count.
Okay.
By just enough for the matter. He would never tell anybody that he couldn't hear.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna tell it, man.
Hey, that's the truth.
So think about it now. If he had been getting off on the snap count, he was going to be a starter in the backfield.
Wow.
It was probably going to be Higgins and Keys.
Right.
And both of them doing it. So mm-hmm. I like, okay, boom. And then when we made the switch and they switched him over to nose guard, mm-hmm. it was a thing of beauty. Mm-hmm. Like imagine play going left, offensive play going left, mm-hmm. boom, he strike out going to the right. And developed a technique where he grabbed the offensive lineman, swung himself around, went down the line, and made the play. Wrestling. I was like, whoa.
That's a wrestling move.
You know, and you say, okay, well, over on defense, you just reacting to what you see.
Right.
But all those things impressed me, man. I was like, I thought I was doing it, but if they had left us in place, you know, some other people we know, some other nose guards, it would have been a battle. It would have been a battle.
I hear you, bro. So you said Ron Stiller would have got on the field, though.
Float had two opportunities to play. He was either going to come and compete as a stand-up backer,
right,
or he was going to go down.
Right.
And so it worked out that either way he was gonna have competition.
Right.
And then when he came in and they stood Jimmy up, mm-hmm. it's like we ain't lose nothing. I mean, I couldn't run as fast as nobody on the screen.
Right.
I'm the slowest guy. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So for it to work like that, mm-hmm. we have a lot of hustle going on. But
oh, man.
That just, you know, Jimmy won't come out and say it,
right?
But behind the screens, the things that affected him, mm-hmm. and look, he still end up with the numbers.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, the way I look at y'all, man, first of all, and Willie and Bojack, y'all can chime in anytime. But as far as how that defense was set up, you guys were the leaders of that defense, and it was obvious. There was no doubt at who was pushing the buttons, and you know, you were play calling, but who was the leader in that huddle and who was directing on that football field? And as a unit, man, that my freshman year, man, you guys, bruh, hey, listen, we learned how to hunt because y'all taught us how to hunt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you think about all the guys they talk about, they hardly ever talk about y'all. Like they talk about my group, right? And it's crazy because there was no way the guys that we had were better than you guys, right? But they were taught by you guys.
Okay.
And it set the tone for us. It really did set the tone for us. Because you think about it, my freshman year, we were 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
We were 10-2. It was led by you guys on defense. And not just you guys. You know, we talk about, you know, Willie. We talk about Bojack. We had Blade. Blade was a great leader in the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we just had everything in place. We had everything in place, and we had that dog mentality on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a guy like me who's sitting on the sideline coming in on special teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching. I get a chance to go and watch. The tone was set. I mean, it was really set. And so, and I'm thankful to have you guys, you know, the way you guys did it that first year. And not to go from the beginning to the end, but I never forget the Florida game, AC. I mean, I can see you out there right now in Gainesville calling the plays in the huddle and how you guys destroyed who I thought was probably the most talented offense we played the whole year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, y'all annihilated those guys. And so
the Gators, they still celebrating the fact that that was the fastest backfield in the nation that year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you shut it down.
Shut it down, bro.
You know what? I say they brought the dog out of us. You know, they made some old lewd comment that we overrated. Mm-hmm. They said that at the wrong time. Coming up on the bus and that news article starts circulating on the bus, it just pissed us off.
Absolutely. Remember?
It just pissed us all off, man. It took us to another level, man. We're gonna get after them.
Oh, we got after them. So Willie from South Dade High School in Homestead, you know, and Willie, you were elected on the FSU Hall of Fame in 1988. And one of the things about you, man, you were so athletic. You had that frame, right? And you were that defensive man. You had that frame. And I'm going to tell y'all something, man. I'll never forget the second game we played that year. We played out in Kansas State. Y'all remember that game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We played out there. And, you know, I'm an old high school quarterback, right? So I look at the game a little different. And so I'm watching Willie. I can't remember how many sacks you had that day. But you were on that quarterback so bad, I felt sorry for that guy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I had empathy for that guy. I said, man, Willie gonna kill that dude, man. I hope you give him a break.
Hey, hey Bobby.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Butler, you got me ready for that game.
Huh?
Bobby Butler, he got us ready for that game. You remember coming in as a freshman?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, when they said we need somebody down there on the scout team that's gonna challenge that defense. We brought you down there. And I'm like, defense man, this guy running the option, he's running bootlegs, he running sprint. I said, man, I can't have this freshman embarrassing me up here because he's gonna challenge me on this team. And I recognized then that, you know, you were special. You was a special talent. And normally, you know, I don't let offensive players embarrass me.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what? I'm going to have to go along with this guy. I'm going to have to take it easy on him. you know, with the blocker you had, I could have got you.
You could have got it, right?
Yeah, but I said, you know what? He's special. I can't abuse him, dog. And I probably wouldn't.
So
fast. I probably won't ever hit you hard. But nevertheless, I remember what you
go ahead and tell him, Willie.
Yeah.
Willie, go ahead and tell him it was an active conversation in the huddle to ease up.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I appreciate it, Doc. I appreciate it. I remember being on the scout team for the Texas Tech game in the Tangerine Bowl, and I remember AC almost took my head off one day in practice.
Yeah.
But
that was a mistake, brother.
But it was all fun. Hey, I was happy the fact that I got a chance to play scout team quarterback, right? Because my quarterback days was over. I had a conversation with Bojack. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago, me and Bojack was talking, and I said, Bojack, if you can start all over again and play any position at FSU, which one would you choose? He said, wide receiver. I said, yeah, I would have chose quarterback too. Thank God we didn't do. Thank God we didn't do.
Yep.
Now, real quick, guys, I want to talk with Big Nate. But see, the one thing about college football that we all know, and Aaron, you mentioned it earlier, that at home, we were the guys back at home. And so when we got to Tallahassee, you know, things changed, right? I mean, I changed position. First time I played corner was the day I walked in the training camp. I never played corner before, right? And so, and then Jimmy played offense. He played both sides. But Big Nate, when Big Nate came to FSU, Big Nate started on the defensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? And D-tackle, right, Nate?
Yeah.
So, what was that like for you? Because I guess that's what you probably wanted to play when you came in, right? Was defense?
Yeah. It needed some help on that
ball. Yeah. And that's how you got on.
They got me on. And I also noticed that that's all in defense. In me. So that's a problem there. So we know as the game 0-0, he came in. So I was gotta do something. You know, going from defense, I could use my hand.
Right.
That mess they talking about, hold your hand like that.
Right.
It hit me in the head with my hand going to the stairs. Yeah, I need to get up and get like that. But doing that, man, that's
my best hand. Right. You got your hand. Man, your microphone keep going in and out. We can't hear you well. There you go.
I don't know what's going on because I'm looking at
there you go right there.
Oh, that's good. Now back up a little bit. Just back up a little bit. I think that's it.
I'm looking at the speaker now.
It's good.
It's saying 100. So it's up there.
All right, good.
You good now?
What I was saying is, I got hit so much that my wife, sometimes when I'm acting up, she said, you need to go take that test. it's a different type of football over there on that side, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, everybody got to work together
yeah.
to get the block. And if you miss a block, shoot, it's going to show up, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one of the things about that offensive tackle spot too, Nate, is the fact that people don't know how athletic you got to be or how good your feet got to be. Your footwork has got to be impeccable to keep those edge rushers off, the quarterback.
Yeah. That balance there, man. You got to have, you know, and that's not natural because you're not used to it. Your body's not used to it. That's something you got to develop.
Develop.
Amen. So that you can have your leg in position at all time,
mm-hmm.
so that you can take on the block, you know.
Right, exactly. But
it's something that you have to work on.
Yeah.
You get to understand what you're doing, so you enjoy.
Right. Well, you know, you got on that side and you started working, and then my freshman year we brought in Ken Lanier,
mm-hmm.
and you helped Ken Lanier. You know, as a true freshman, because he got on the field early, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because the way we were passing the ball, we needed them two bookends
right.
on that line holding it down, you know. because we had to protect the quarterback.
Yeah, and what people don't realize that we flip flop. We didn't play one side.
Okay.
I play weak, he'll play strong, then we'll flip flop it.
Okay.
Depending on the formation and stuff.
Right.
So,
wow.
So you got to play both sides.
Right. Right. Well, that's good, man. Now, when you were recruited by FSU, Nate, you played at Albany High School, mm-hmm. right? And there was somebody else on the show tonight that was playing with you in high school. And I think y'all came there as a package deal. So y'all explain, I want to hear y'all explain the package deal to me. What y'all had going on at Albany that we didn't know about?
The plan was that we were going down there in Florida with them Florida boys. We had to have some backup for each other. we had to have some backup, so we turned out some packing.
Packing deal, I love that. I love it, man.
Let me tell her a little bit more, and they leaving a little bit out on that.
All right.
When we were both, he was one of the most sought after players in the state of Georgia, in the country for that, but in the state of Georgia for sure. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, in our height, we started out, I think we were 6-0 or something like that until we played Valdosta. Mm-hmm. And we lost that game, a close game. You know, Valdosta was like national champs. Nate got hurt against Chris Cordell High School, which is a town about 30 miles or so from us. We ain't win another game, bro. That's how important he was to our team.
Wow.
But in the recruitment part, we both came down there together, on trips, unofficial, official, and they really wanted him, And rumors tell me, the rumors has it that they told him that if they didn't take me too, he wasn't coming. Well, that's how I ended up. That's the real truth.
I like that. I like that, dude. Yeah. I like that.
I heard the rumor now.
Yeah. So, but just to go real quick on my couple guts. Jimmy, this is what I know about Jimmy, other than he was fast and just 9'5", whatever he was. I knew that. Uh-huh. But I also knew he was a great wrestler because I saw him pin a guy in intramural wrestling. We had an intramural basketball team where the track team got wrecked. Right. I saw Jim and Gary Wolford was also another great wrestler. But I saw Jimmy pin a guy. It was ridiculous. It was seemed like, I'm going to say 3 seconds, it was done. It was over. Every match I saw, it ended in 3 seconds with a pin. Wow. He was champion, him and Gary.
Wow.
AC.
I paid him.
You paid him? Hey, AC was in the secondary with me when he first came there. He was a DB. Okay, I got a team picture to prove it. He was standing right in the back huddle with Joe Camps and all of it.
Wow.
So, it's ironic how all of our careers got going. And of course, Mr. Jones here, mm-hmm. after I left, and I knew he was destined for starter, man. But when he won the MVP and won the game, what?
Those are
the things that really kind of stick out of my mind. I said, but what for Nate, I probably wouldn't have gone. We were all talking about going to Iowa State because we had another teammate that's the school that wanted all three of us.
Right.
He ended up going to Iowa State. Me and Nate, we flew out there in the winter, and he was like, we ain't going out there. With so we going to Tallahassee. So I know you remember that trip, don't you, Nate, on that propeller airplane? That was our first airplane trip ever.
That was your first plane trip?
First plane trip ever on a propeller airplane in a snowstorm.
Lord.
And then I'm going to start with this. I was with AC a few years ago. I was down in Tallahassee visiting John Dukes, and he was around, and we got a chance to get together, man. And I'm telling you. We went someplace and got some fish and stuff. He knew AC knew what the place was. Either Dukes did, but I knew how important it was for us to kick Florida's butt because he was from Gainesville. I knew how much it meant to him, and I was not gonna be a part of a 0-4 Florida State team that never beat the Gators. And so we did it for AC.
Well, I tell you, that was a special day. I remember that day like it was last night. Mm-hmm. And the way we played, and just the whole storyline behind us at that time. You know, we had momentum. You know, we had momentum going into the bowl game. We played Florida on their field. Mm-hmm. And just the way y'all took the field, man. From opening kickoff, man, we were going to win that football game. It was no doubt about it that we were going to win that football game. They had the greatest backfield, not just the fastest, but one of the best backfields. Some of the Oklahoma Wishbone teams can't say they had the talent that Florida had in that backfield, because they had Willie Wilder from Haines City, world-class sprinter. Mm-hmm. You had Tony Green, right? Mm-hmm. You had ML Carr playing fullback, and Terry LeCount was running the ball at the quarterback.
World-class 400-meter guy.
He world-class 400-meter guy. And then you had Wes Chandler, arguably the best receiver in college football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, and we beat him half to death. You know, and so, I mean, it was a great day, man. It was just like we knew when we took the field that day that we were not going to come without a win that day.
Yeah. Well, also, to add to that, man, we had one of the fastest secondaries in the nation.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the fastest.
Probably
the fastest. That's the other thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other thing. And then we had people that played roles or were stars that game that were typically not stars.
Mm-hmm.
You think about Roger Overby and what he did that day.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, even his whole career. He caught three touchdowns.
Three.
I mean, it's unbelievable, man. And so, I mean, it was a great day. But Willie Jones, I got to get back to Willie Jones, because Willie Jones, he was a three-time All-South Independent Team earner. Now, you know, and a lot of people don't remember, we used to be an independent school back in the day. We were not in the ACC back in our time, right?
Right.
On top of that, Jones was on three All-American teams, including AP and UPI. He was the Tangerine Bowl MVP in 1977. Mm-hmm. And in the Senior Bowl, we just talked about it. I mean, he has six sacks in the Senior Bowl. They had to give him the truck, Bojack.
Yeah, no doubt.
Bojack, they had to give it to him. Who else they gonna give it to?
No, hey, he earned it, man.
And you know what I love about it, man? I'll never forget this, Joel. When Willie came back, Willie never drove the Jeep. Me and Harvey Clayton drove the Jeep.
I drove it, Bobby. Right on the, what was that hill behind?
I'm humble. I'm humble. Hey, I want to say this here. That Aaron Carter, Jimmy Higgins, and Bobby Jackson, you know, I was, I thought, you know, somewhat, you know, I didn't have a huge ego, but I thought highly of myself.
He did.
And, but those guys, they kept me humble during those years, you know, when I was, you know, the early years. Cause they would tell me, quick, I get in the huddle, start running, shut the fuck up, Charlie. Get in the huddle. Get down. They kept me alive, so I really appreciate that. And we learned to do all that, you know, on the field, off the field, the camaraderie, you know, and joking and kidding one and jawing at one another, you know, ribbing one another. We learn how to take it, and we learn to respect one another.
Absolutely.
And we really, really cared about one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the teams now. I had a couple of sons to play at FSU, and I'm putting that there for whoever listening and watching.
Mm-hmm.
The development of the football program now, you know, Bobby Bowden, Coach Bowden, he brought all that together.
Yes.
You know, now it looks like it appears the program is kind of, you know, slipping a little bit, because I've had two sons to play there after me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get a chance to get in their ear and hear how they, I use them as a signing board as far as the camaraderie of the team. And
right.
It just, you know, they don't have that closeness, that unity like we had. Mm-hmm. We cared about one. We ate, slept, played together. You know, we did a lot together as teammates. And I asked my sons, them, when they were playing, they would tell me something like, I would ask him about this guy. Oh, I don't deal with him. Wow. What about this guy? I don't deal with him. I'm like, what the hell is that about?
Right.
You don't deal with him. He's your teammate. How can you not deal with him?
Right.
I just don't. But, you know, these guys here and others, you know, even, you know, guys that are not here, we have this great love for one another. And we care about, genuinely care about one another. We may not talk every day, but when we do see one another, it's like old times, man. It's just
absolutely.
It's just something that, you know, I'm so proud to be a part of.
And Willie, you know what? I can be anywhere. I can be anywhere and think about one of you guys, some of my teammates, and this big old grin just come on my face. I just started smiling, right? Because of that unity and that love for one of that brotherhood, man. It's just nothing like it. But, you know, I think another thing, a part of that, what really brought us together, is something to be said for when you go through things together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, at Florida State, Jack Stanton coached all of us. I think y'all got Jack. How many years y'all got Jack? Bo Jack, how many years he coached you? 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years, all right. So Jack coached me 6 years in my life.
Hmm.
Okay.
4 years in Florida State and 2 years in Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jack just had that thing of putting his knee in your back.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing everybody. And he's not treating anybody no different now.
Mm.
He's pushing everybody, right? He's pushing everybody. But when you go through things like that together as teammates, it brings you close together because we got to support and encourage one another.
Right.
You know, through the hard times. Right.
Hey, Bobby, you not to cut you off, you missed Deke Pollard, who was Jack Stanton just a little shorter. AC.
I got this question here. I'm still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out even to the day as I sit here. Because I realized how tough you was. You was tough. You was tough on a gun, boy. Yeah. I mean, you didn't back down from nobody. Big, small, fast, whatever. You're going to challenge. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day, one of those coaches made you run for a freaking whole practice, 2 hours of what a freaking poor hamstring. Like,
that was Jack Stanton.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah.
I was sitting there, how the hell he doing that? 2 hours of a poor hamstring. And you didn't hit right. You didn't stop either. You didn't stop, man. And, you know, that just showed, man. I don't care. You showed him, man. I don't care what you do. You ain't gonna make
me. You're not gonna run me out of here.
Hey, Willie, I appreciate that. But I'm gonna give you a little insight on what really happened on that. Mm-hmm. First of all, something got in my mind. I always wanted to try to enhance my game, and karate was it. I was choosing karate for flexibility.
Okay.
Well, lo and behold, we had a guy living in our complex. I don't know if name remember him. Jimmy. His name was William Black. Cross-eyed guy lived in an apartment right where we live. Anyway, I was training with him. Kincaid was supposed to be at training, but he always missing when he's supposed to be doing it. He didn't show up, so it was just me and Will. I tried to do a back kick, like I was a black belt, you know, but I did it I tried to kick too high too soon. And I pulled that's where I pulled the muscle at. And it was about less than a month away from training camp. So I'm limping around. I ain't tell the coaches, nobody. So basically, when I went to camp, matter of fact, I thought I had flunked out of school because I had failed this class, so I left. And if you remember, Bobby, I wasn't there.
You weren't even there, right.
I was in Albany thinking about signing up, going to the military. Well, they tracked me down some kind of way at my uncle's house. I don't know how they did. They found me and said, come back, you didn't flunk out. And that's when they demoted me to third string. And I had to run with Jack after practice every day. But behind every adversity is a seed of equal and better benefit. That just got me stronger.
Uh-huh.
And by the time it was, you know, I was knocking out a person a day in practice, I was mad. I'm like, this is my senior year. I'm supposed to go to the pros, and I'm a backup. So basically, he would run with me. You know how Jack used to run.
Yeah.
He would my leg was hurting so bad, he lapped me the first time. He lapped me. By the time this thing was over, I know I had him, Bobby. He took off. He tried to leave me. I just stayed there with him. I said, let me stop playing around. I left him. I lapped him. That's when I knew I was ready. So that's what happened, man. Jack Stanton, he brought the best out of me by making me.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about it real quick. So the end of that football season, Bo Jack, you were a 6th round pick, New York Jets, in 1978. And when you left Florida State, you were an all-time leading interception holder at Florida State. You had the most at that time when you left.
Right.
Right. And as a rookie, you made the all-rookie team with the Jets. You led the Jets in interceptions 4 different times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And was named captain in 1981 with the New York Jets and made the Jets all-time New York Jet team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the top 3 corners in franchise history. So, I say you did well after you left FSU. But I also want to say this about you. You know, I always had a dream of playing pro ball personally since I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and had a chance to play 1 year with you. I saw the things you were doing that really helped my game.
Right.
You know, because I, you know, some of the things you were doing, I wouldn't have never imagined that somebody our size can do some of that stuff. How you would take on lead blockers. I learned how to take on lead blockers watching you. Right. I said, man, that joke going in there hard. You know, I started doing the same thing you were doing.
Right.
And then when I saw you play on Sunday, your rookie year, my mouth was wide open, man. I said, man, he done made it. Man, he done made it. So that was an inspiration for me that, hey, look, if you keep working hard,
it wasn't just starting when we went to when he went to Florida State. That was all the way back in high school when he used to take home block. And it kind of offended me when they said they wanted to take me and they wanted to take him. You know what you missing? And I didn't know what he could do.
Exactly.
And I know it was the time that he just needed the opportunity to do it.
Exactly.
So it took that away, and I'm glad it happened.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's amazing sometimes how they miss
players.
Hey, Bobby.
Uh-huh.
One thing, you said something very important, man. The thing that I had a dream of playing in the NFL, it didn't come right away. It came on later on.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw Greg Johnson go, you know, go and play with Tampa Bay and some other teams and other guys that I played against, Billy Hardees, who was at Virginia Tech, Ed Taylor, who was at Memphis State, who he was my team. Both of them were my teammates at the Jets. Actually, I got Billy Hardees cut. But my point was, when those guys went on and played, and I played against them, man, I'm just as good as those guys. They gave me hope, bro. And that's what – you know, gave me the motivation other than getting my grandmother out of the project back home.
Right.
Was, you know, and I couldn't fail, bro. I just couldn't.
Absolutely. Well, when we talk about, you know, when you look at your size, you know, most people would think that, hey, he's just not big enough to do it. Mm-hmm. And so you think about when AC came in, AC, how much you weighed when you came to Florida State as a freshman? 160?
Man, I was a 165.
165. And Bojack already mentioned it. You played in the secondary for a while.
Mm-hmm. Look, our initial training came under Deke Pollard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Back pedal plant.
Mm-hmm.
Plant left, back pedal plant right, and break on the ball. You got to get that push.
Push.
I remember I was all linebacker in high school. I got there and they put me in the defensive backfield. And I'm like, what in the? And I'm out there trying to be a cornerback or a safety. Uh-huh. And I'm the slowest one in the group. You know, I'm like, what's really going on here? And on the snap of the ball, I couldn't break the habit of going forward.
Right.
And I looked at Bobby and Joe and Wolford and Fifi,
right.
And those guys, Lee Nelson.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, why y'all wasting my time? And then I couldn't do it. I ended up playing a big game as a safety back there. I had a great game, but I could have been somewhere else doing something else. That was my attitude.
Right.
And then they put me down there with the defensive ends.
You down there winning?
Oh, my God. Hey.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you got to make your work, man.
Let me say this, though. The good thing is, you know, just like Jimmy, you know, it's like they were trying to find a spot for you. That's why I look at it. You know, They recognize, mm-hmm. hey, this guy can play. We got to find a place to put this guy. Mm-hmm. And so after you played then, when did they move you back to middle linebacker for good?
Huh. I did a.
They moved him back. Let me say this: what happened? They really moved him back after he tucked my ass up. Yeah, we had this dang real man called Butter. Here I am, 6'4", 5'8", 5'9". Every time we had that butt up drill, period. McDowell would put his, excuse my name, McDowell would put him with me, pair with me. And sit there and make you put your chin on your,
yeah, on your chest.
And right. just have you to just butt right. up on him, just right. right. Every day I'm with AC. And that he had that little 6-inch punch, man, that would just came my head with the arm and say, man, I'm about to go ahead, man. But I say, I'm not gonna quit. Somebody that's gonna quit before I quit. But I tell you what, man, he got me ready for college football, man, because every day I had to go through 5-10 minutes of hell with him.
That's good. Man. Teeing off him,
man. And I was glad to see him go too,
bro. I love it, boy. I love it. Hey, man, one thing I can say, man, in practice, we used to get it in, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, our practice was no joke, you know. And one thing about Tallahassee may be one of the hottest places on the planet with the humidity. You know, all of us, most of us from Florida, me and AC and Willie from South Florida, yeah. we used to at least get an ocean breeze.
Yeah.
But, man, you get in Tallahassee, man, you landlocked, man. That yeah, sure.
Y'all remember Rudy Thomas, don't you?
Yep.
Remember Rudy?
Yeah. Yep. I came down that spring. You know, when we came down spring, mm-hmm. it was so hot, I wasn't used to it. Rudy said I was sucking down clouds.
Sucking down clouds. He did. He was sucking down some clouds that day.
I love it, man. I love it.
You got to get smart. You got to come over under the shade tree.
You got to come under the shade tree, man. Well, let me say this. You know, we talk about AC. We talk about him being the all-time leading tackler. People need to realize, you know, we've got a lot of great players to come out of FSU on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. But when you had 512 career tackles, there's a reason why he's still the number one. He left after the 77 season, number one, and still number one in 2022, as we talk right now.
Right.
You know, and he put the work in, man. I mean, put the work in. I look at his senior year, he had, 181 tackles. Jimmy was right behind him with 157 tackles. Yeah. That's our two inside guys. Yeah. And you know, Float was at the nose when you had – the speed of Float coming on, and then you had Jimmy running inside out and AC, bruh. I mean, we were working that thing. I mean, we were working it. And then Blade was running the triangle, running inside out in the alley.
Yeah.
And then Bojack was blowing up every lead blocker. Dude, we couldn't help but be good. I mean, think about it. I mean, when I think about every position that we had on that team, that senior year, AC, Jimmy, and you know, Bojack, your senior year, man, hey, we had a great defense, man. We had a great defense.
Well, hey, bro, you know, speaking of that, and I don't want to turn it racist or anything like that. I don't want to come off like that. But we had 10 people starting on defense that were of color.
Yes.
Should have been 11.
Yes.
Should have been 11. But, you know how that goes. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that was the only thing mm-hmm. I saw. But we still made it, but the bottom line, it should have been 11.
Well, you know, the other thing, when you think about, we talk about the physicality. We talk about these guys, Jimmy, and we talk about AC, and we talk about Willie. We talk about the physicality of the team. Then you talk about Abe Smith was playing one D tackle. You had Flo playing at the nose guard. You had Louis Richardson playing at the mm-hmm. other tackle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we start talking about the secondary. The secondary was so athletic. I mean, we had Bojack playing strong corner. We had Ivory Joe in the boundary. Ivory Joe was the slowest one in the group. You had Blade run the alley. And then you had Kincaid, who was a 46 quarter mile. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we had some dogs out there, man. Yeah. And so the way they played, the way we hunt that ball, bro, it was a special thing, man. Mm-hmm. It was nothing like it. And so that's what we saw as freshmen coming in, the way y'all set the tone for us. And then in 1978, my second year, I mean, everybody was brand new on the defense, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Except we still had Willie. We had Ivory Joe. But for most part, Reggie Herring, Paul Peraza was playing middle linebacker, right? Mm-hmm. Keith Jones was playing strong safety, and Mark Bonasart was playing free safety, right? Mm-hmm. And then we started to play Mark Mossick at the tackle. So it was almost like a whole new look mm-hmm. on our defense, but the tone was set.
Yeah.
And when we think about it, that year we were young, but we were 8-3 that year. That wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. We were 8-3 with a brand new defense, mm-hmm. right?
Right. You went from the 50 front to the 40 front.
We went from the 50 to the 40. That's right.
Which allowed you to have more punch in the inside.
That's right.
With Paul and Reggie and Ken. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember those guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What I also remember was
internet didn't have in and out.
What I remember was they didn't have to teach you basic football. They didn't have to teach you how to get in, how to hustle,
right.
How to get in put them up position.
Right.
So it was a continuation of some things.
Yes.
Which was I say this is great.
It was great, man, and I'm just telling you, man. I know how I felt because then it was that thing, when BoJack left, it was my time, right?
Right.
And so I don't want to let nobody down. I want to play just as good as he did, right? I want to be more, right? And so we got to push. And one of the things that, from a secondary standpoint, of course, we were never as talented as our first year. With Blade, BoJack, and Kincaid, and Ivory Joe. But we spent a lot of time studying, right? And we had to. One thing I can say about Keith Jones playing strong safety, he was never out of position, AC. Mm.
Right.
He was never out of position. Couldn't run, but he didn't have to. Play smart, right? Mm-hmm. He played smart. And so I look at that, and we still had Jack putting his knee in our back the whole way.
Mm. Right.
So, I see you keep going away.
He got
your men is about to run out.
Hey, you hear Jimmy?
Jimmy, you hear Big Nate?
My internet keep going in and out. I can't hear you. We got a storm here.
Okay.
And while we're talking in and out.
Yeah.
Y'all talking good stuff about the defense, but I remember two or three times that I got a cheat chart from AC in here.
We got storms coming through, tornadoes.
Well, speak on that cheat shot that Nate talked about.
Let me hear it, Nate. Let me hear it.
Cheap shot. I don't remember no cheat shot.
When was that, brother? You can hear me?
Nate, go ahead and talk about that cheat shot.
You can hear me, but I can't hear you guys.
They don't remember it because they hit me and ran off the field.
Can't tell you.
That's right.
There was
a time when we have to go up here to Nate and Ken Lanier, on board drills.
Nate Henderson, they were kind of break my back. They had me in that dirt stand up fire technique. I hate it to this day. Stand up fire technique. Wow. I said, man, what the hell am I doing? Stand over a 275-pound offensive tackle.
Exactly.
225-pound. I'm standing up over him. Right up over. I hated that shit. And they were kind of break my back. Boy, they got me ready for. They got me ready for game. He and Ken Lanier for.
Excuse me, don't want to talk. Oh, the one I hated when we had to go one-on-one.
Okay.
And every time I jumped up there, I had to go against Big Nate. Yeah, I am 195 pounds. And he'd be sitting up there just laughing at me.
like he's doing now. Like he's doing now. The 11
now. You came in at what weight? You came in at what weight?
Shoot, I came in about 27, I think.
Yeah, but, no, I think Jimmy came in like 200 and something, AC.
You said Jimmy.
I mean, yeah, Higgins.
No, I'm talking about Nate.
Oh, Nate, okay. I thought you said Jimmy.
How about
27?
27?
You see how he say that?
He's out about 27. Oh, I love it.
Did you all realize that all we went through and everything, that ended up being the best time of our lives.
Best time, No doubt about that.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I tell you what, though, after that first football season, I was jacked up. Then we started the mat drills about 5 weeks later. And I didn't know what the heck was going on.
did they outlaw the mat drill, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
But not to way after we left.
No, they brought them back, man, because we did mat drills. Yeah, but when they and I graduated from high school early, so we were down there in the fall, in the winter.
Wow.
And before, you know, before our class even came in, so we went through mat drills. Did you stick fight? Did y'all stick fight?
No, we didn't do that.
We did.
Wow.
Stick fighting, and that was, you know what a stick fighting was? It was just a long stick, and they had two guys, you know, grabbing, and the object was to take it from the guy.
Okay.
That was stick fighting. We wasn't beating each other with it. We had one stick, and the goal was to take it away from
him. It probably was almost like wrestling. Didn't it get you tired?
It was wrestling.
More complicated wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, tell it more complicated than wrestling.
And what were the consequences you lost that match?
Huh?
What was the consequence?
They would flip up and kick you in the face and get the stick.
Yeah, just the consequences was you got your butt kicked because everybody was watching.
That pride.
Yeah, that was it.
We think that's bad, but the year before we got there, you know that chicken wire.
Yeah, the chicken wire.
I heard about that chicken wire.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had to do none of that right there.
Yeah.
But listen, guys, y'all went on and to do a lot of great things. I know Jimmy, you know, after he stopped playing, he started coaching. And you coached a total of 32 years. You coached 19 years at FSU, you know, continued the tradition. How many national championship teams you coached on, Jimmy?
I was on two, but we played in four.
Wow.
We won two of them. We played in four.
Wow. So, you know, the proof to the pudding, how the program was going and what we have been working on since the time y'all got in there, since the very beginning, man, it was special. And I'm telling you, man, whatever they do down there, you know, I feel like I'm still there, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like when they won national titles, I felt like I won a national title, right?
Exactly.
And so it's just that brotherhood, the family, you know, the whole thing at FSU for us. And you know, and we all know it really wasn't easy, and it was hard in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. Sure.
But yet and still, we persevered and we saw it through, and you know, and we still brothers to this day, man. Right? We still brothers to this day.
Yeah. Bobby, just real quick.
Uh-huh.
You know, they talk about who the legends of the school and all that at FSU, but I want to give respect to JT Thomas.
Oh, absolutely.
To All-American, Eddie McMillan.
Yes.
A guy named Hodges Mitchell, who would have been the first 1,000-yard rusher.
Yes.
But they didn't give him the ball. He finished with like 900 and change. But, you know, obviously Larry Key, our teammate, was the first.
Right.
But those guys really set the example. Along with Smokey Reagan. You ain't know Smokey Reagan.
I didn't know him.
Who remember Smokey Reagan? I know you do, Nate.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Yes. Smokey. Those are the guys. Okay. And Joe Camps. Obviously, Joe Camps was the guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, all you guys were great ball players. You know, Willie ended up being drafted by the Raiders in the second round, and played 5 years for Raiders and led the team in sacks his rookie year, 10 sacks, you know. And when you left Florida State, you had 20 sacks, which is put you at second all time. But I think you're still there to this day, right? And so, I mean, a fierce pass rusher. So now think about all the inside, how we had the ability to stop the run. And then we had a great secondary, but we had you rushing the passer, man. It was a beautiful defense, man. It was a beautiful defense. Of course, Nate played, and when he left Florida State, he was drafted in the 11th round by the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. People don't know there is a St. Louis Cardinals. There was back in the day. He was drafted by the Cardinals, and was that 78 or 78 or 79? 79.
Oh yeah, you went there.
79, right. You and Willie went the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all went the same year. Of course, and then Bo Jack played with the Jets. And a lot of people don't know this, Bo Jack, but Bo Jack and I were teammates again. After he left the Jets, Bo Jack came to the Falcons, and we played a year together.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so we hung out for a year. And that was good. That was good for me.
Beautiful. That was a beautiful time.
That was a beautiful thing for me to have him come and be a teammate again after all those years. Yeah. And then, Jimmy, you know, you coached some dogs, man, at Florida State, man. You know, some of those guys you coached were, matter of fact, Walter Jones may be the best tackle to ever play pro football, period.
Yep.
Period. And you coached that guy at FSU and, you know, Trey and all them other guys that played for you on that line. You know, it's just good for you to still have influence on the program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm praying that we can find our way back to where we once was. And
we have a great offensive lineman since he left.
I did that. I don't think
that's the question.
I don't think so.
A great offensive lineman since he just left.
I don't think so. And that was part of the problem for a long time was what was going on up front. Because you know, Florida State football from an offensive standpoint was always still physical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we ran the football. Right. We threw the football, but we always had 1,000-yard rush in the backfield. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, you know, I got scared a few years ago when a coach said this. I mean, I got scared. He said, well, we're going to have 4 wives out here the whole time. We're not going to get in a huddle. We ain't going to ever be in a huddle again. Jimmy, I got nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I saw? I saw Mark Lyles. I saw Greg Jones. I saw William Floyd. I saw all them great pro football players that now we're not going to recruit those kind of men no more. We're going to play this frisbee ball. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, man, come on now. Come on now. So anyway, I mean, I know we're living in a new time, new day, and it's all about the receivers and quarterbacks now, but to me, football the same. The teams that possess the clock on offense, that can make the game physical, run the ball, throw it when you have to, and play great defense, you're going to win football games. I don't care what nobody say. You're going to win football games. That formula ain't going to change.
That's right.
Yeah, and you have a kicker that can make a field goal. You know,
and you got to have special teams players. Exactly.
Well, I know that offensive lineman wasn't going to play with Higgins if he didn't have a bad attitude.
Yeah. He's gonna cuss you out the whole practice.
The whole practice, right? Hey, you better be right.
I used to hang with him. I know how he was. That's all.
Yeah. You're right, Nate. He had a bad attitude, man.
No, man.
I love it.
They had a bad attitude.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Hey, listen, guys, I want to say again, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hey, listen, let's do this again. You know, let's get Larry Key. Let's get Mike Schumann on the show. Let's get the dog on the
get
show.
Shoe Dog.
Hey, because Bo Jack, I don't care what nobody say, Shoe Dog was one of us.
Yes, sir. He's sweet.
He was one of us, right?
Yes, sir.
So look.
Yeah, they taught us how to party.
Thank you. Oh, of course it did. Of course it did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show tonight. If you like the show, share it with your friends, comment it. I'm your host tonight, Bobby Butler. And this is our legend segment. We had the great Aaron Carter, Bobby Jackson, Jimmy Higgins, and we had the great Willie Jones and Mr. Nick Henderson with us tonight. Guys, thank you so much for your time, and we love you.
What is your favorite moment from football history?
What teams and players are you cheering on, and who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.